Welcome, everyone. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We are walking fast through the book of Ephesians. I taught it a few years back, and we spent 2.5-3 years in it. So this time we're trying, last week we actually did chapter 3 in one go, which was amazing. And today we're going to look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. So if we would, if you would read it with me, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to have your word. What an amazing letter this is. It is our greatest treasure to have this to read. And it's not just words we read, it's the reality of life. And I pray, Father, that you would take these few moments we spend together meditating on your word, and that it will not just be information, but that we will be transformed by it, that we will be able to know how to live with you after all that you've done for us. So have your way, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this very morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So picture a soldier in uniform. The uniform represents courage. It represents loyalty. It represents discipline. It represents a country. It represents a mission. But imagine that the soldier that is wearing that uniform just leaves, just suddenly deserts, and suddenly the uniform is dishonored. The uniform doesn't really match the person. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is urging by saying, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beg you, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. To walk worthy means that your life matches that uniform that you're wearing. So we've been looking at chapter 1. Chapter 1 told that Paul tells us all the riches that we have in Jesus. We believe, and we're not working for riches. We're not working for blessing. Paul tells us we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, not because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he did. Wealthy, blessed. And Paul prays that we would discover that, not that we would obtain that, but actually that we would know that we are his inheritance, that we've been accepted, that we've been adopted, that we've been blessed, that we've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And Paul prays that we would be able to take inventory of what is ours in Christ. Then we did chapter 2, and it's that diagnosis that happens. Paul makes a diagnosis of us. We were dead before, but when we believe, we receive life from him. We couldn't see before, now we see. We couldn't hear before, now we hear his voice. We had no power, we were under the sway of the enemy, now we are free from the enemy. We are alive from the dead because of his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. We saw that we are his workmanship. We are his work of art. He has determined. He is serious. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He made a down payment. He's serious about what he's doing in your life and my life. This is all his doing. And in chapter 3 last week, we looked at, in a sense, Paul stands in awe. Paul looks at what God is doing. He begins his church. He says, out of Jew and Gentile, he makes this new nation, this new people that he's going to use, that one business in the world that will never go bankrupt. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And no longer do we go to the temple, we are the temple. The very intimacy of God in us. But we looked at last week, it was like standing in the Grand Canyon and just seeing the awesomeness of his wisdom, the awesomeness of the place. And what he's talking about is the church. Lives transformed by the Spirit of God. Not only lives transformed and set free from sin, but actually lives made useful, working throughout the earth. And all these things that we talked about in chapters 1, 2, and 3, there is not one thing in it that you or I did. Chapters 1 and 3, there is not one thing in it that you and I did. It's just what God has done. God gets the glory. We are grateful to him. And we must really consider that we have to be very careful in our Christian life, because we can almost think that because we're zeal, because we go to church, because we're missionaries, because whatever it is that we might think we might do, that therefore that makes us something before God. But the Christian life is not lived because of what we do. The Christian life is what he did, what he's doing, and what he will do. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But the danger, once we begin to realize that, is that we are just happy to remain the way we are. So Paul says, therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, because you're so rich, because you're alive, because you're a part of the church, I beg you, walk worthy of that. Let your life match what God is doing in your life, what God has done for your life. In a sense, it's like being an ambassador. An ambassador represents his country. He communicates for his country. He mediates for his country. He protects, you know, his interest is for the protection of his country. And his loyalty is to his country. He represents their nation in a foreign land. Their conduct reflects their homeland. And Paul says, we are Jesus' ambassadors called to live worthy of him. I'm amazed. Some people are embarrassed to say that they're Christians, you know. Sometimes I wonder what God thinks when we say we're Christians. How we can be in the places that we interact in our doing of business, in our dealing with maybe when someone gets their towel too close to ours on the beach. But God, when Paul says, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice the things that Paul is saying that cause us to walk worthy of the Lord. Humility, gentleness, strength, patience, bearing with one another in love. You know, in business or leadership, for example, efficiency matters. Leaders are trained to make hard calls, prioritize tasks, and sometimes cut what doesn't produce results. And that is good management in the workplace. But as Christians, but in the church, people are never tasks. Walking worthy means slowing down enough to be patient with the weak, gentle with those who fail, and humble enough to serve even those who bring us, listen to this, no visible benefit. A CEO might prune projects, but Christ never prunes people out of his love. And Paul is going to let us know how this applies to every area of our lives. You see that the religious leaders of the time when Jesus lived, they were that person's not worthy, that person's not worthy, and Jesus steps in and he served the least. He gave time to people that wouldn't have gotten time. And here in chapter 4, he begins to say, therefore, because of all this goodness we've received, because of God's humility, because of God's grace, because of God's kindness, therefore, walk worthy of that. You be that to other people. And chapter 4 and 5 and 6, here it's talking generally within the church. But then he's going to go with masters, those of you who have businesses. He's going to say children to parents, parents to children. It's an even balance. Husbands, wives, wives to husbands. In every area of our life, walk worthy of the gospel. Walk worthy of Jesus Christ. Walk worthy of the country we belong to, the uniform we wear. Walk worthy of that. I told you once about my friend, Peter Will, who Loretta and I had gotten in a big argument. And he called me, and I remember I was in this room. And I went into the sound booth there, and he goes, how you doing, Raph? And I said, I'm not doing good right now. Just got in an argument with Loretta, and I don't feel like talking. And if you know me well, you know that I never say stuff like that. It's very rare. And then I said, so, bye-bye. We hung up. And then he calls me up. No, sorry, he sent me a text message. He says, I was really troubled by our phone call. Please take care of my sister. And all of a sudden I realized the person I was talking to is not just my wife. It was his sister in the Lord, which means that we have a father, means that she is his daughter. So to walk worthy of the Lord means to be worthy of the gospel. It means to actually treat each other. Not only for in the sense that we're blessed, not only are we rich, not only are we loved, not only have we experienced God's kindness, but so has she. The way we love each other, the way we talk to each other, the way we care for each other, it matches the gospel. Whether it's at work, whether it's in at home, whether it's with the kids. And Paul here, he hasn't told the Ephesians anything to do until this point. And all he's begging them to do is to walk in a way that matches all that God is and all that God has done. Isn't that amazing? To me, that's the thrust of the Christian life. The thrust of the Christian life is not what we do for him, but what we do because of him. That's why it's so important that as even as we sang in Spanish, you never knew that today we're going to have a Spanish class, but I want to know Jesus. What does that mean? The more we are acquainted with him, the more we know what it's like to walk worthy of him. Verses 4 through 6, look what it says. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Whenever we study the Bible, there's that principle of repetition. When something's being repeated over and over again, pay attention. He's trying to say something. And here, seven times, seven ones, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Unity is given by God. And we must guard it. It's sad to see a house divided against itself. It's hard to see two people that were on the altar saying, in sickness and in health, we are one together. We will love each other for the rest of our lives. And all of a sudden is division, hatred. Unity is given to us by God. We must guard it. But, and this is in church unity, you know, we need to, this, I love being a part of this church. Somebody told me the other day, there's nowhere else to go. That's why you guys come here, you know, kind of a thing. It's just like, but the funny thing is that because of that, people from all kinds of church backgrounds, and even some people that are not believers, we come here together and we are forced to relate with one another. Imagine that. But sometimes if we're not careful, what happens is we want unity. And this is what I love about here. We want unity, but we think of unity as uniformity. Everybody looks the same. Everyone dresses the same. Everyone talks the same. And everybody has the same emphasis. But that's not the church. Unity is not uniformity. God didn't make us all the same. We are all created in the image of God. We're all created in different ways. And when we become Christians, not only do we have aptitudes by creation, we are, when we become Christians, we have diversity of gifts that God gives us, not to compete with one another, not to divide over them, but actually to complement each other. He doesn't expect us to think, act, or serve in identical ways. He expects us to be who we are in Him, in our personality, which He created minus the flesh. And He expects us to actually be ourselves in the giftedness that He has given us, very much like if we were in an orchestra. So every year, well, most years since the pandemic, I get to go to Nashville to the Sync Conference. And to me, it's just incredible to see the photographers, to see the sound production, to see the different musicians, to see the different artists, to see, I mean, just the diversity of it. And I've never in my life seen so much giftedness walking and moving in one direction to glorify Jesus together. That's the church. When we don't think to myself, look how beautiful I am, and we despise other people. But we see, oh my goodness, what a gift that person has. What a gift that person has. What a gift that person has. And together, people see Jesus. It's like an orchestra. Many different instruments, many different tones, many different parts. But when they all follow the same conductor, When they follow the same conductor, it's incredible what comes out. This morning, I don't always do this, but this morning I had classical music on, you know, and it was just amazing to. And then in Nashville, I get to see the conductors there, and they just go crazy, it's like, boom and boom and boom, and then you go boom, and you just got, and everyone's listening to this one guy. And everyone's exercising their gift, not on their own, but according to the one guy pointing them to when, how, and what. And that's where music comes out. And you know, if we have people that are always doing what they want, when they want, how they want, with whom they want, and not looking to the master, not bringing the culture of worthy of the Lord, then what you have is a bunch of noise, but no symphony. But when we humbly and lovingly and kindly serve one another, not because of us, but because we appreciate Him, that just like He gifted me, He's gifted others. And we serve together in humility, in long-suffering, in kindness. That is when we are going to walk worthy of all that He's given us and all that He's done for us. In the church, diversity of personality, gifts, backgrounds, and even cultures is not weakness. It's a reflection of God's design. Unity means we hold together, complementing while playing different roles. So we complement each other. And that's what Paul, I mean, look at it. I mean, there's not two gods. There's only one creator that we surrender to. And when we surrender to Jesus, we are born again and we are brought into this new nation that He's building out of Jew and Gentile, out of all humanity. And there's a unity. And there's a culture that we walk in. It reminds me of in Romania, there was an American that went while it was still communist Romania, and there was this American just going, that walking down the road, and he heard a Romanian just whistling a hymn. And the American realized, oh my goodness, that's a hymn. So he began to whistle the same hymn. They couldn't speak to each other, but one of them went, and the other one went, and they just hugged. It's not what denomination you belong to. It's whether you belong to Jesus or not. Whether you know him or not. And when you know him and you are saturated by his grace and his love and his mercy and the truth, obviously, then you begin to sense what the church is. I guess I have a little one illustration that has been very useful to me, and because of course there's we're going to see here. I mean, we saw in chapter 4 that there's warnings, and it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So that not everybody's a good guy. We have to be savvy. We have to be wise. But listen, not at the expense of love. But for me, the illustration has always been like, you know, my grandmother was something else, man. She was feisty, and she raised me, and she would throw skillets, you know. She would throw plates, and she would pull her hair if I really did something bad, you know. Just like, I mean, it's kind of crazy to see your grandmother angry, and she's just like, why did you do this? You know, it's just like, she was something else. Talk about parenting. But she, those of you that have been coming to church for a long time, and you got to think she was in the Civil War in Spain, and she had a tattoo, and then she hated it so much she erased it with a stone. Yeah, she's tough, huh? I mean, the poor guy goes, you know. But she was a tough cookie, and I always thought about it like this. If someone says to me, I knew your grandmother, I only need 20 minutes of conversation to know whether they knew her or not. And I can tell you exactly, that person didn't really know my grandmother. Or that person really did know my grandmother. It's the same way with Jesus. As the cry of our heart becomes, I want to know you, Jesus. And as we grow through the Word of God, because there's no other means of knowing that Jesus of Nazareth, other than through the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, as we grow in our knowledge of the Bible through the Spirit of God, getting to know the Lord Jesus, we're being rooted and grounded in the truth. And we are able to help each other grow in our relationship to Jesus. And we're able to discern when it's another Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. But there's unity with Christians. There should be unity. That's the walking worthy. When we know the Jesus of the Bible, we see how he dealt with Thomas and with Peter and with James, and we see how he dealt with different people later on in the church. And there was such diversity of personalities. And the temptation, even like the disciples, was to compete with one another as opposed to humbly compliment one another. Which leads me to the next, which is growing in maturity. We will grow, I mean, walk worthy, walk in unity, and we are going to walk in unity when we grow into maturity. So he says in verses 11 through 16, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Listen to this, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of every part, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Look what he's saying here. Leaders are not given to do all the ministry, but they're given to equip saints for the ministry. Paul's saying that God gives gifts. The gifts are people with gifting to equip you and I to serve in the ministry in the world, as we share the love of Christ, as we bring salvation to people, as we bring not only salvation, but we bring bread and we bring food to people, as you know, the different ministries, the diversity, hospitals that have been started by Christians. But as leaders, not given to do all the ministry, but to equip the saints for the ministry. Maturity means no longer being children, unstable, easily swayed, tossed to by every wind or every new idea. The goal is to grow in our relationship with Jesus, each part working and growing properly. And you know what? One of the best ways to grow as a believer, one is to know the blessings that we have by reading Scripture. Some of you guys have been saying how you've been reading Ephesians and it's been such a blessing to you. It's been so just repeatedly reading it, and every time you notice something new. But you grow as a Christian as you're in the Word. You grow as a Christian as you turn from the Word to the Lord. But listen, guys, we grow as Christians as we get involved and we stop being spectators. And we actually get into the game. The biggest growth spurs that I've had in my life has always been when I stepped into something God was calling me to that was bigger than myself. And sometimes we can remain baby Christians because we're just not plugging in. And a body is a body. And if a limb doesn't grow, imagine, you know, you're growing as a three-year-old, as a four-year-old, as a five-year-old. You're beginning to run, and all of a sudden, one of the limbs on your legs stops growing. What happens to that body? It's not going to run 100 meters. It's not going to run a marathon. And so it's important that each part does grow healthy. And I want to ask you a question. Am I a consumer in church or am I a contributor? Am I equipped for ministry or just someone who listens to sermons? The church grows not when a few, but when everyone does their part. And I honestly, I kind of hate it if it would be like this. You guys got to serve more. That's right, Niels. It's not like that at all. Honestly, to me, it's amazing that God would call us to do anything for him. It's an absolute privilege to do anything that he would trust us with anything is amazing. But it is a privilege for our life to get plugged in to say, Lord, what do you want to do with me? You've blessed me so much. I want to walk worthy of all the how you've blessed me. I want to walk worthy of that. You've made me alive from the dead. You've given us to be a part of this amazing thing, which is the church all over the world, those who call upon your name. Lord, what could you possibly have for me to do? And the crazy thing is that he's not looking for perfection. Corinthians says he has chosen the foolish things of the earth to confound the wise. I'm going to tell the story wrong, but Anouk is here. And I'm going to, but there was a guy she knew. And when he was, she walked in a way, obviously, that made a difference. And there was a guy in the hospital, and he said, he was passing away, and he said, I want to see Anouk. And Anouk had shared with him. And Anouk went there, and he said to her, I will see you with Jesus. And he passed away. My goodness, what beats that? Think about it, to be an ambassador of heaven. To be an ambassador of the kingdom of God. To a man that is weak, about to breathe his last. And to be able to give that person a hope that nobody else but Jesus can give them. And that all of a sudden, like the thief on the cross says, hey, I'm going with Jesus. And I want us to understand that God wants to use us in spite of us, not because of us. And there are three things. One, we must adopt the culture of the kingdom of God. Walk worthy. We don't do ministry our way. We're not representing our brand of Christianity. We are representing Jesus. And we must grow careful that we represent Him and not our views. Number two, we must protect unity unless there's a good reason. There should be a humility, there should be a grace, there should be a kindness, there should be a sacrifice, there should be a patience. And third of all, we should be maturing together and serving Him together. We are all bearing a uniform here. The uniform doesn't make you brave, but it stands for infinitely more, and it demands a life that honors it. I've had my share of, I'm very careful when everywhere I go, and I've had my failures. I don't know if I told you this one, but I was on a plane. I had to go to California. I had to speak. Now I always book the flights a couple of days before just in case I get delayed or I miss a flight. But this time I was in Chicago and I had to make a close connection and the lines were horrendous and I had to go speak. And I just went right to the front and people are yelling at me, where are you going? Where are you going? I was like, I'm going to the front because I have to go speak in California. And I went right to the front. And this family was really aggressive towards me, and I was just giving it to them. You know, I was like, well, you suck it up, princess, you know, kind of a thing. And I get on my plane. They sat next to me. If you don't walk in humility, you will be humbled. And I was incredibly humbled. And I was just able to apologize and explain. And you're right, there was no, it was not right. And we made up. And so what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. So it's just like, oh, no. But what's important is not that we're perfect. What's important is that we're growing. Chapter 1 through 3 shows us our new king, a new country, a new constitution, a new culture, a new mission, a new value, new riches, new hope. Walk worthy of that. Grab a hold of that. Let it match. And I just want to ask you, finish with one question. And this is a heavy question. Does your life make Jesus look good? We can complain about everybody else. We can complain about all the churches. We can complain about the Inquisition. We can complain about the Crusades. We can complain about whatever it is. But I'm not asking about everybody else. I'm asking about you and I. Does your life make Jesus look good? Because there's nobody better than He is. There's nobody as majestic, there's no one as loving, there's no one as kind, there's no one as clear, there's no one as strong. And we are not representing ourselves, we are representing Him. Yesterday, we were, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday we were in Cararallada. We were with Michael and Kelly. And so we went to a Noah's. It was a little coffee shop there. And we were just talking about life and talking about the Lord and talking about what God is doing. And next thing you know, this guy comes up to us and asked us, in a sense, whether we were Christians. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, we're at the Santa Ponsa Community Church over on the other side of the island. And they're like, oh, maybe we'll come. Imagine if our conversation would have been otherwise. Slandering, bad jokes, whatever it was. But to realize, you know, nobody, we don't live for ourselves. We live to Him. Walk worthy. And it is a privilege. I'm amazed that he actually, not that I take his name, I'm amazed he takes mine. That the Lord would say, I'm with Raph. Really? So because he's with me, because he's with you, let's make him look good. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. What a great book this is. We read it and there's always challenges, encouragement, transformation. What an amazing thing, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we get, like we said last week, that we get to serve you here in Mallorca, Lord. The amount of kids who go home and speak to their parents about you in the nursery, after being in the nursery, Lord. The amount of ladies on the streets that hear about your love and your value. The amount of families that come here with their kids to fellowship so their kids play, and then they end up like Inan coming here to the church, Lord, and connecting back with you. I mean, the different ministries that are going on all over the place. How amazing is it to be a part of what you are doing? And I pray, Father, you would encourage us to plug in and that we would do it in your way and that we would make you look good. In Jesus' name, amen.